Okay, in tonight's show, we discuss how Ireland get defeated by the Japanese 100 hand slap, a la Street Fighter 2.
Hadouken. Did Keith Earls save Ireland's World Cup chances?
Or did Ireland's World Cup chances save Keith Earls?
Is Aladdin Disney's greatest ever character?
And we get Fla on the phone. He's out for dinner with his missus, but we interrupt that to discuss whether Owen Redden is the biggest nerd he's ever met.
Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello, and you are gathered here today on the Barry Murphy and Andrew Trimble residence of rugby to celebrate the life of Irish rugby here on Joe, together with Guinness. We had a good innings, but alas, the Japanese beat us. It was like, do you ever be playing a Meteors in Street Fighter 2? And he doesn't have Street Fighter 2. He doesn't have a Super Nintendo. He's really good at like Sonic. He's a Sega. And you play Street Fighter 2 and you think you're just going to bait him handy. Because even though he knows how to play, he's not good enough to beat you. But then he just picks a Honda and he just keeps lashing you in the face with that fast hand.
The 100 hand slap.
And you're like, stop hitting me.
And then, or he picks Blanca and just goes.
I was thinking Blanca is more like Argentina, quite bitey and electrocutey.
Yeah.
But definitely.
Chung Lee is Japanese.
So like, after 60 minutes, you bring on Carberry, but then he. They bring on Chung Lee and she just starts kicking you. Yeah. That's what it kind of felt like to me. I also thought like Ken would be a good Owen Farrell. So I think was he the white suit?
Ken and Ryu.
Ryu
was white.
Feff de Klerk. Oh no, Ryu was the blondie lad, was he?
Yeah, I think
Ryu was the
red white
lad. Yeah, the blondie.
Ken was red. Yeah.
Okay, so he's Feff de Klerk.
Yeah.
The white suit is
But you learn special moves.
Guile is the
he's the military.
John Quill he's so like him. You get two of them, their faces up, they look really alike. And didn't he do a little finishing move on Owen Farrell the other day?
Red card.
What was Guile's special move? Was it like a take that dog?
Oh, he would do like
tiger uppercut.
Tiger uppercut. No, that's Ryu and Ken, wasn't it?
Oh, he used to do scissors kick.
Yeah, scissors kick upside down. Just do like a helicopter.
Good finish. That should be his finishing move. No, finishing. It's a different game. I also thought this is very clever. Vega, do you remember that weird guy?
No, I don't remember.
Vega was about the mask. He'd be up in the just hanging on the fence.
I don't remember him.
He's like the IRB. They're just always up in the fence, just being weird. Just this World Cup, they've been quite weird, saying weird things.
Yeah.
Like, get down off the fence, you weirdo. Take off the mask. And they're like, well, yeah, you can. You can have foreign players in your team, but I wouldn't do it if it was me. Kind of shit. They came up with something weird the other day. They were slagging the referees the other day. That was quite weird as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was refreshing, though.
They're quite vague, and his name is Vega. It's like...
It's perfect.
It's many levels. This is the order of the day, I think, is to distract people from what happened.
Yeah.
Because it was hard to watch, wasn't it?
What was hard to watch?
The match.
Oh, yeah.
You're doing a good job. So we're going to get Fla on the phone. Fla's not here.
It wasn't hard to watch.
He said it was.
I honestly think I wasn't a million miles away from becoming a Japanese supporter halfway through it.
Pat is going to have a heart attack over there.
These guys are class. Why have we been supporting Ireland when we can be supporting Japan?
I know the feel. I know what you're saying. It was one of those like, where were you in your life moments when Ireland were beaten by Japan? Like when Princess Di died, or when 9/11 happened, or when USA 94, when we beat Italy. This was one of those moments.
Yeah,
I was in Dubai, and I just got in, obviously, and I had missed my flight, so I was running around the airport trying to watch. I'm really good at missing flights.
Have you got a track record of missing flights?
Yeah. Terrible track record. Right. Like some people have talents, like I think be double jointed or could like bilingual or something like
that. Can roll their tongues.
Yeah, I'm really good at missing flights. Now, in my defence, Emirates Airlines were absolute ass wipes, and they wouldn't allow me bring excess luggage on because I had a lot of equipment. And they were trying to charge me £500. But anyway, long story short, I didn't see the whole game, so I need you to talk me through it. And we're going to get Fla on the phone, and Pat has been working all day on trying to make sense of the whole thing as well. You watched it with...
I watched it with the second captains.
Good crack.
I watched it with Owen Redden. I felt myself getting a little bit uptight, but then whenever I changed over and then started supporting Japan, then I felt like the game was a lot easier to take.
Okay.
It was more fun.
When you're supporting Japan. It's interesting when you watch a game from the other team's perspective. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But Redzer, I thought he was kind of getting angry. He was getting frustrated.
Yeah, he takes his rugby seriously,
yeah.
Redzer.
Yeah, we're such rugby supporters, though, that we... I'm speaking for myself, maybe. You don't want to be...
I'm with you.
...involved in this, but... He's just an Ireland rugby supporter. We're purest rugby supporters. Mm. We're supporting the greater good, the good of the game.
We just want to be entertained.
We want to have a bit of crack. I just don't want to be on the losing team.
So I was in Dubai for a few days. Great crack. 2 gigs, 48 hours. Dubai is such a weird place. It's like it's where all the influencers go, or it's all the boyfriends of Instagram, that's where they all dwell, uh-huh. I think. That's my observation. I was at the bar on Thursday night, and I met this guy from Liverpool. I just started chatting to him. And I asked him what he did, and he said, influenza. And I was like, you have influenza? He's like, oh, I'm an influencer. I was like, what the hell is that? Like, he literally just gets paid to go around and taking videos of himself on Instagram. And I was like, yeah. 100,000 followers and that kind of crack. And then
I love the idea. I always imagined being there when the photos are being taken, because the reality of what's going on is not what is being portrayed in the video or in the photo. It's so different. And I imagine it's the 20th photo that person is eventually.
There's this Japanese couple at the pool, and they were like there for an hour. He was just taking photographs of her. And they couldn't get it right in front of everyone. So when you're at a pool,
they're shameless.
You're just sitting. I was just looking at this, going, and everyone is just looking. Yeah.
I walked in on an influencer gathering one day in a coffee shop in Belfast there a few weeks ago, and it's like clones.
Okay,
like they all look exactly the same. And I walked in, and the guy working the coffee shop was like rolling his eyes. I went, "What's going on here?" He goes, "Don't even talk to me." Yeah, he's like, "I've never seen so many handbags in my life."
It is, and so you don't see it very often, especially not in Limerick, but when you're dropped into the middle of it in Dubai, it's like I felt like an alien who just landed on the planet. And I was like, what is going on here? Who are all these people?
And did you get influenced?
I was trying to see where I am on the scale. Who am I? Am I the influenced? Am I under the influence? Am I influenza? Yeah. Influenzo. It's like the gender pronouns, you know, it's like or the Mokanilops. What were they, Pat? Were they some sort of tenses in Irish?
Is that a motive or something? Or, yeah. Oh, the Mokanilop was just like if you did honour as Irish, you got taught about them, and it was a world you didn't even want to know about. It was just like the fifth tense half removed or something.
That's possessive. What the influencers are to me. Weirdos. Also met a lot of our penguins out there.
Uh-huh.
Legends, yeah, loving it. And one of them suggested that we do a live show from McGettigan's in Dubai.
Tell him yes.
So I got straight. We were staying in the McGettigan's. That's where
we'll sort out the finer details.
Yeah.
Tell him yes.
Yes, straight up.
I met a penguin today in Grafton Street, and it was like an hour after the game. And he goes, "Here, good luck making sense of that."
So this guy put the wheels in motion straight away. So it looks like maybe around the Six Nations.
Yeah,
got to Dubai for a few days, and yeah, just have a little holiday.
Yeah. Isn't how confident we are, and then we're going to get bullied out of it.
Yeah.
Maybe. The powers that be.
I forgot to ask you, did we get, when I was talking to them, one of them said something about living on a prayer was Japan, where that's what put it in my head for the Facebook message I put out, which was, if you were to give each country a song title for their World Cup hopes, what would it be? And that was his one, was Living on a Prayer for Japan. But Jesus, the prayers come through sometimes, don't they?
Yeah.
Do you got a, we got a good reaction to that, actually.
Yeah, can I, have you got a few of them?
Yeah, I'll see if I can come here now. Remember I was saying to you, my one was, the Scottish one was, remember Delamitri had Don't Come Home Too Soon for, it was one of their World Cups I think they were in, like. Here we go. Oh, somebody, the first one is Ireland's the Titanic team. Scotland over and done with by the Proclaimers. Ireland different ending by the Coronas. Coming home for Scotland. A lot of Scottish digs in here. Wales Living in the Past by Jethro Tull. Australia Cry Me a River. Oh, Mike probably sent this before the game. Ireland, we are the champions. And then here's a, here's a Hermitage Green shout out. Scotland, Quicksand.
Nice. Or Ireland now.
And then after the game, this Alan Mack got onto us on the group and said, it's all over now, baby blue, for Ireland.
I don't know a lot of these songs you're mentioning. Totally out of the loop. Good know, work, Penguins, though.
See, we've got no... have you noticed we've no pillows?
Yeah, where are pillows?
So, when we were here on Thursday, you're obviously away, so I did it with Emer.
Stinkface.
Stinkface. Loved it. So,
that's great.
We came in, and then... Pat, was it you? Someone?
Yeah.
Pat goes, you haven't seen the yellow pillows? The yellow Joe pillows? I was there... She remembered last week at the live show after we finished, because there was such a buzz and such an excitement. This lady came up, I think it was a lady came up on the stage, and she goes, where do you get the pillows? And I said, take it, you'd be grand.
You gave some random lady her pillow.
Yeah, one of the pillows. And then the other one, I chucked it to the other end of the bar.
At someone?
Someone, I didn't hit him on the head, but like, it was a decent shot, very close. And he went to throw it back, and I think it got tangled up in like that walkway up on top. So then that was the end of that.
So that's still there.
We're two pillows down.
Get on to Guinness and see if they might have it. I like those pillows. It gives a nice little...
Yeah.
Bit of colour.
Brighten the place up a bit.
Yeah.
That's what happened there.
You're ridiculous, man. I watched Aladdin on the flight.
Right.
What a film.
Oh,
the new one. Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, my God.
Really?
They kicked the shit out of it. Yeah. They just, like, as, you know, The Lion King was so disappointing, I kind of presumed that this would be the same, but amazing. Brought me back to my fears, more of my fears.
Oh, no.
When I was a kid, that was in, we had a school play of Aladdin, and I was like 10, and I really wanted to be Aladdin, but I couldn't. Do you currently, you know, when you were a rugby player, you weren't allowed to tell people you could sing or anything like that.
Yeah.
I knew I could sing, but I was like, I can't tell anyone. So I couldn't do it. I was like a fruit merchant or something like that in the background of Aladdin when we did it. And some girl was Aladdin. Ridiculous, like.
Yeah.
And, but I used to go home and just practice myself anyway. And then, my cousins came home from America a few weeks later, and they were like really into Nirvana and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I'm into Nirvana, yeah, pretending like I had no clue they were talking about. And my brother was like, you don't like Nirvana, you know. I was like, I do. And I remember I was downstairs getting a Pop-Tart or something like that, and I went up, and they were in my room, and my brother pulled out a little tape recorder, and he just pressed play. And it was me. It's like, I can show you the world. Shining, shimmering, splendid. Doing all Jasmine's parts and everything. Was there, fuck. So what is this? I still get abuse over it. So I relived that other fear on the plane there. But great flick. Anyway, what are your thoughts on the match?
Defensively, we were really, really poor.
Yeah.
But it was, I think the game was just won by the amount of energy that Japan brought to it. They played with such pace. They were so accurate. Their phase play was so quick. They just kept the ball so fast. Their nine was unbelievable. Just kept getting there, getting the ball gone really quickly. So Ireland never got set.
Mm.
So they never got off the line. They never made an impact. They never slowed them down. And Japan just got their tails up. And then as a result, I think because Ireland were kind of on the receiving end more often than not, apart from the first 20 minutes.
Mm.
Then when Ireland got the ball, then they looked exhausted.
Yeah.
They looked so tired, flat, and just looked like Japan just kind of broke their spirit, or just like, towards the end.
The humidity must have been unbelievable. And
yeah.
Pace was pretty high. The atmosphere was pretty draining, I'd say.
Yeah.
Pat, like you gave, on your article on Joe today, you gave the player ratings not too bad. And I think that was a fair reflection of, like, it's not like they played terribly.
What did you give Ringrose and Farrell?
I gave Ringrose 7.5, and I gave Farrell an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, those two were brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they were.
So, like,
they were the best. And yeah, and I was saying to Barry there that, like, I got an email from somebody saying, this is shit, like, the ratings are far too generous, like, there's a lot of fives and sixes. He's like, that means you're saying that nobody was, like, really poor, they're all... And I got back to him and I said, yeah, I just thought a lot of them were average or just good, but, like, not great, and Japan were great, and that's why we got beaten. It's not that anybody was really poor, but we were just average today. Like, yeah.
We were good for 20 minutes. We were really good for 20
minutes. 21 minutes, yeah, it was great. Mm.
And I wonder if... So we were, what, 12-3 up?
Yeah.
I wonder if we'd scored one more time, if it could have been a very different game. If we could have broke them a bit. Although, I don't think Japan would have gone out the gate. They had so much support. Mm. And they were so up for it.
Mm.
And they kind of... I think they would have been probably more resilient than Ireland were.
Yeah.
Actually, when Japan got back into it, planted the seed of doubt, and then... Ireland just got within themselves. They got narrower, and they got panicky, and they like towards the end, the face play they're putting together. James Ryan took the ball, touched the ball maybe 6 or 7 times, and like linked a couple of times, carried a couple of times. He looked knackered.
Yeah,
everybody looked knackered. Everybody was catching the ball, standing still.
Yeah,
Japan were herring up, smashing boys.
Mm.
It was. I mean, I think Ireland. The thing that we would be critical of, I think, is that Ireland just, they didn't show any resilience. They got questioned a wee bit, and then Japan got at them, and they kind of just went into themselves and didn't. I think if Sexton had been there, he might have been able to manage that a bit more, or been a bit more stubborn.
Yeah.
The Cardi went really well. His kicking game was class early on.
Yeah. Yeah, for everybody thought, like, for the first 20, 25 minutes, everyone's like, holy shit, Jack Carthy is unbelievable. Yeah. Like, and it's like those great kicks. And then just when it started to turn against us, even when he was kicking, he wasn't finding touch as well. He was just giving them the ball back. And
he was, I'm not even talking about his play. I thought he played well at times. Like, he kicked away a couple of times, but some of his kicks were lovely. Like the cross field for Ringrose for the try. But it was more just the leadership that Johnny would have brought and the kind of stubbornness.
That was the most demanding game he's ever played in.
Yeah.
You know, attritionally, mentally and physically.
Yeah.
So
mentally, I think, massively.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Will we get Gerry Flannery on the phone? Shall
we get someone on
expert who knows the names of the players? How we doing, Fla?
Konnichiwa, Fla.
Arigato.
Konnichiwa.
Where are you?
I'm out for dinner. My missus, we're out in the air.
Very fancy.
Yeah, it's good. Good.
Okay.
Has Baz ruined your evening?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit, but
sorry.
It happened, so
sorry.
Not a big deal.
Sorry.
And I've been trying to figure out this game anyway. You know, it's kind of wrecked my head a little bit since I played.
Yeah, we haven't been overly negative in the first 10 minutes here. We're just kind of discussing how good Japan were as opposed to how bad Ireland were. And I think we mainly said that they probably didn't manage the game as well as they should have. Is that something around the same lines that you're thinking?
Yeah, I think it's pretty accurate. I was just, from what I've seen from Japan from the first round, and I watched him in the Nations Cup against Fiji, and I'd watched him against South Africa as well in the warm-ups. I did not think that they were capable of that, but they just looked so much better than us. When I watched the game back again, I watched it like, and I was a little bit lost, and I watched the first, like, how did we lose that game? I know our discipline was off, but Japan were good. Japan were good. Like, I was conscious that when we beat Scotland, that Scotland were poor, but... You know, it was a you know, Japan were good. There's a lot of things that we could have done better, but there was some really big momentum swings in the game after about 20 minutes. I think, you know, when Japan won a scrum penalty, a big, big momentum shift.
I wanted to ask you about that. The first scrum, Ireland were dominant. And I don't know, was that 10 minutes, 15, yeah, whatever, in 15 minutes later, how can there be such a turnaround in the scrum?
Yeah, I suppose it's like, it's not that I'm better than this guy, so I'm always going to beat him. You've got eight guys competing against another eight guys. They've all got to be trying to line to the same point. It's going to be a huge discrepancy between them, you know? So it's like, an analogy is like if you want someone who's going for a 200 kg squat and as a winner at max or something like that, you know, if they're not always going to get it, but they're generally going to be there and thereabouts, as in getting there, and that's kind of how scrummaging goes. And I thought like we're sharp there, you know, they caught that one where they got it's like Ireland were advancing too quickly on the loose head side, which left Tadhg Furlong then on his own with the Japanese loose head and Hori the hooker there. And he got kind of pincered in a little bit, so they didn't get a decision on it.
A lot of people, just when I was reading up on it early on, a lot of people questioning why Ireland didn't kick the ball enough. Were we trying to play way more of an offloading game? Where did that come out of? And would you agree that we didn't kick enough?
I think it was 19 kicks from hand from both sides, and I would have thought that based on how Japan had gone against Russia, I thought that they didn't handle the kicking game well. I thought with Joseph and Brown as their head coach, as their coaches, that they were very much focused on shifting the ball to the edge as much as they could, changing the point of contact, a real high tempo game that doesn't rely on, you know, that doesn't ever allow the game to slow down to the point where now we've got to try and generate momentum here with a one-off big carry, because they don't really have the personnel outside of probably Maffey within their pack to do that. Now, Maffey's more of an offloader. But I felt that if Ireland tested them with the kicking game that they played, like it came into its own in the second half against Scotland because of the conditions. And Ireland were really, really good, like the pressure kicking from Murray, really accurate kicking, a real strong kick chase line every time. And I wasn't overly impressed with the Japanese back three in the Russian game. And even though it shifted around a little bit today, I still felt that they didn't kick accurately when the ball was put in behind them when they returned. Or else Matsushima just made that line break up the left touch line. But in general, they weren't exiting well with their kicks. So it's an area that Ireland probably could have targeted a bit more.
What about Vlad? Do you think Ireland's defence was an issue? More specifically, do you think their line speed was an issue? I was sitting beside Owen Redden watching the game, and you know, he's like a bit of a nerd when it comes to defence. He's quite opinionated.
He's a nerd.
Yeah. I agree with pretty much everything he said.
Yeah, he's a nerd. I get it. I agree.
He thought our line speed was shocking, and then a good example.
He's a nerd. He's a nerd. But I would have thought from my expert analysis that our line speed was, I felt it was off a little bit, particularly because Japan were trying to move the ball to the edge, and an awful lot of times you get someone coming up, say, on say their first receiver / second receiver, putting line speed pressure on him, trying to get him to pass early. But then you see the rest of the line bent back every single time. And what it is, it just kind of gives Japan options where they just tip that ball on, even when it wasn't a particularly accurate pass, and they just made up lots of soft meters on the outside. And to the point where I kind of got their offloaded game going, I felt that, you know, Andy Farrell would be a little bit pissed off with that, but, you know, that was how it unfolded.
What about Gardner? Again, that's getting a little bit of chat. Would you have an issue with any of his decisions?
Yeah, there was a few things. I think it's not a good place to go when you're always looking for like, oh, if we lost the game, it's the referee. But there's a few things that definitely, like, there was at one stage, Jack Carty was contesting in the air for a kick in the second half, and he kind of got taken out as he was going for it, and Gardner was looking right at him and didn't seem to it just didn't register with him, you know.
Yeah.
It was essentially almost a yellow card. I think there was, I'm not sure which Japanese player it was, but they kind of even half contested and just took Jack out as he was trying to field the ball, but he just waved play on. But you know, it's hard. I would be a big fan of criticism of these. Mm-hmm.
And I know this is Captain Hindsight. So okay, yeah, I was going to ask you about Japan in a couple of minutes, but Captain Hindsight, head on us, Schmidt's selection. What do you reckon? Like a 6-day turnaround, picking pretty much the same pack that had gone through, played a lot of the rugby in the warm-up games and then gone through that tough game against Scotland. Do you think he made mistakes in those selections, or is it the fact that Japan were just excellent?
I couldn't second-guess the selection because I suppose I would take it from who went out there that he was trying to pick his strongest side again for the second round against Japan, because Rob Kearney came back in, Earnsy coming back in, because Bundy Ecky was out, Chris Farrell coming in, and then obviously with Johnny being gone, I think if Johnny was fit, he would have started, and then would have used to kind of probably freshening it up then for Russia and Samoa. I don't think it's fair to say that he got it wrong, because when the replacements come on, I didn't see a huge change up that would make me think, well, oh, this guy should have started definitely, you know. So it was probably just a flat performance all around. And you know, look, compare last week and say on Sunday when we beat Scotland, we were good, but Scotland were terrible, and today Japan were really good. Like, you know, we weren't great, but Japan were really good. I suppose it's just a bit of a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, no, I think I'd agree. Looking ahead to where they go from here, then is it? I suppose
it could be fine. Yeah. If Scotland beat Japan, am I right in saying, Pat? Stop me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. but as long as there's no bonus points, then we've still got a good chance of topping the pool.
We'd need Scotland to beat.
That's what I mean. If Scotland beat Japan,
because we beat them so heavily, we would stand a good chance then of topping the pool. Yeah.
So Earlsy in chasing back after that intercept potentially saved them.
Mm.
Yeah,
that was unreal.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's the reason why Joe loves him. Stuff like that.
Mm.
That he outpaced Larmour as well. Like,
did he go past Larmour?
Yeah, he went past Larmour. Yeah, really? and won it, and then nearly got the turnover as well. Like, could have saved their World Cup.
Were you Fla or Pat or Baz? If you saw this bit, were you cursing Carberry when he kicked the ball out?
I was, but. It was since been pointed out.
Yes, same.
Yeah. Yeah. I said, no, like as if they were definitely going to score, like if they kept the ball. But I think it's been pointed out that if Japan had turned them over, and we would have lost the bonus point, and it would have been an absolute disaster entirely.
I would have went for it though.
Would you?
Yeah. Put up a contestable.
Oh, Jesus. I just.
But I'm the only rugby player not here in the room. As
what do you think, Vlad? No, you were like, kick it out.
No, put it out, because the downside of actually not winning a bonus, not getting a losing bonus point would have killed us. So,
yeah.
It's shit, man. Japan were good, but I didn't think we'd be as flat as we were. We looked exhausted.
Yeah, we looked so exhausted.
I thought we looked like the same way we looked at Twickenham a month ago.
Yeah, but look, I'm not sure if we'd like the way the Japanese were playing, man, is that they were so happy for it to just be constantly shifting the ball around. I'm not sure what would have been the best way to do it. Like, to me, probably I'm imagining like just trying to play a bit more of a pressure game, trying to be a bit more accurate with our kicking game, turning to Japanese, making them play out of their own half. But the more we made it a kind of a slow contest, more set piece orientated, and because it's not like the Japanese got massive delivery off their set piece, it isn't. But I thought that we allowed their nine, either Nagare or Tanaka, to really dictate the pace of the game. The turnover on 59 minutes absolutely killed us. When CJ carried into Chris Farrell, that absolutely killed us. And you know, that turnover there was really, really costly. But like, by and large, I think they really dictated how the game was being run.
That looked sloppy, didn't it? It looked like it just looked a little bit thoughtless, and it's really unlike Joe. I think that was a reflection of how kind of shell shocked everybody was, and they were just like, "Geez, we're back here in our 22."
Yeah, look, I think when stuff like this happens, I think the players have to take ownership on it, because they're the most important guys. You can do it almost everyone except for the players. You know, you can't do it without players. So they're actually the most important guys, and I think they have to take a bit of ownership on this now going forward. I think it was work rate. We were definitely outworked. We could have strategically played and give ourselves a little bit more of an advantage by making a bit more of an arm wrestle and rather coughing the ball up so easily. But I still don't think our penalty count was excessively bad. So I have to give Japan credit.
Yeah, that was one thing I was going to ask you. Was like, I mean, it bodes well for the competition. Japan are going to, the support is going to get behind them a hell of a lot more, and it's great for rugby. For us, then, it's looking like New Zealand in the quarterfinals if we do get through. And now it looks like to play against Ireland, it's put them under pressure and keep your discipline incredible. That's what I kind of took from what I saw of the game today. New Zealand seemed to be getting away with murder as opposed to having great discipline.
As opposed to murdering.
but yeah, what do you expect? Do you expect Ireland to change how they approached the All Blacks game, or how do you think they'll fare with the way the All Blacks are playing at the moment, kind of living in that chaotic environment and with the way they're playing?
I think that the chaotic thing is that came from the pressure that the Springboks were putting on with their... They were so frantic with their line speed and with the pressure of putting on a breakdown. And New Zealand just seemed to respond as in like the looser... You know, the more that they kind of got fractured, the more they got forced into unstructured from the Springbok pressure, the more they just kind of just tossed the ball around. I don't think that's going to be a massive feature of their game going forward. I think that was kind of dictated by the box. I think Ireland have got to focus on the next two games now and to try and get a good result with like good basics and start building, start feeling good about how the way that they can play before they go into it, before they even start looking ahead towards a quarterfinal, because I suppose everyone felt brilliant after the game against Scotland, but now we're kind of back to square one again. A lot of the kind of that niggling feeling that was there after the game against England is probably back again.
So, just on that, assuming we do make a quarter final, we've got 3 weeks until that. So that kind of feeling after the game that the boys were experiencing in the change room. If they beat Russia on Thursday, who cares? They'll still have the feeling. If they move on and beat Samoa, they'll still have that feeling. So that this kind of feeling and the hurt, I suppose, from the defeat is going to sit with them for a few weeks now. I don't know if that'll be good or bad, because it could be good in that it builds up, and then you get this monumental performance at the end of it. Or it could be something that maybe festers and becomes an issue after a few weeks. Have you any thoughts on that? Again, bear in mind, this is a nerdy discussion between me and Owen Redden.
Yeah. Owen Redden in disguise. I don't think so, man. I think honestly that like, regardless of like the Japanese result, if the lads are going into the Russian game and if they're you know, they're looking to get a big performance. Like, when you go out there, it's not like you don't discount the opposition. If you play well, you know you feel you played well. So if whatever 15 goes out against Russia, I imagine it's going to have a lot of changes in there, both from a kind of a freshness point of view and also kind of a, like, a little bit of, okay, well, you didn't perform, so someone else is going to have their goal this weekend. So I think that I think that the players will go out and say, this is my opportunity. And regardless if it's Russia or if it's New Zealand, if they play really, really well, they'll take as much confidence from that as, you know, it's not going to be diluted by the fact that we'd lost to Japan the previous game. So I think that they can do a lot towards getting back in a good mental state from a good performance against Russia, and then against the same against Samoa, building in towards a quarter final.
Okay. How's the TV going? You've got a few games this week. I'm enjoying your little little digs at people.
No real digs. I did the Munster game today in Thorn Park. A very good performance from Munster against Dragons.
Anyone stand out there for you? Anyone that we wouldn't be aware of stand out?
Kevin O'Byrne and Billy Holland were excellent, but Shane Daly was man of the match. I think because his stuff was kind of a bit more X factor. Wasn't a huge amount of rugby played. Munster's set piece was good. But I suppose everyone was still kind of in shock, going in kind of shaking, like with blankets and cups of soup after watching the Japan game that morning. So, but it was good to see Munster win again. So,
okay, well, we'll get you back up here on the couch with us very soon. We're also talking about going to Dubai for a live show in March, so we're going to lock that in as well, and put that in your diary. But look, we'll let you back to your dinner with your pals. Thanks a million for joining us.
You watch out for the returns. Okay.
See you later, man.
Take it easy. See ya.
Good luck.
Probably a great idea that there's this young little fella, and I'll stick him up my shoulders, and I like the ceiling. It's weird. The ceiling above me was, you know, maybe 8 foot, but there's like a big atrium, so I couldn't see the ceiling.
It was a perfect storm.
Oh, so the mum was there with the camera ready. You know, it's one of those wind up ones, and I lift him. Come on, up he goes, and boom, head off the roof. Wow. The whole place went silent. Kids started crying. Oh, I had to hand him back, and I'm so sorry. So I turned around, tripping, wetting himself, laughing.
Okay, that was flat. One thing we didn't discuss there is injuries and I suppose how the squad is looking after these couple of games. So it looks like Conan has gone home. Reese Ruddock to potentially come out.
Jordan Murphy.
Oh, did I say Reese Ruddock? Sorry. Jordan Murphy to come out. Yeah, what are your thoughts, Pat? I know you were a bit concerned about why Peter Mahony was starting, why not rest him considering the week he had and he under a little bit of doubt.
Yeah, I thought there was like he wasn't supposed to play. Like he was never supposed to play. Jack Conan was supposed to play number 8 and CJ was supposed to play blindside. But then because Jack got injured in the morning, they had to put him back in. But I was saying, like, with Reece Ruddock there and with even Tadhg Byrne, who can cover blindside or anywhere in the back row, why not rest Pete anyway? And he was one of the players who suffered most today. He didn't look up to it. And Gardner was pretty harsh on him at the breakdown as well. But
he made a point early on, didn't he? He penalised Pete a couple of times early on. But that could have been anyone. Though. It just happened to be Pete. And Gardner was kind of setting his stall out early, wasn't he?
He was very kind of... lads not supporting their own weight. That's what he was very harsh on. And there was one Conor Murray got pinged with as well, and he just said to him, release it, you haven't got your weight on it. And Murray did, and he still gave it. Like, you know, the minute he said it, he did what he asked him to, and he still penalised him. But yeah, we were having a bit of an argument there off air, but I was saying, it's funny, I would have kept in Larmour and Conway because they'd started the tournament so well, but then I would have changed more around in the pack. Yeah, it is a funny thing. Yeah, you could say hindsight, but I don't think O'Mahony should have been starting that game.
Potentially use a bit more of...
And then I don't think maybe Best as well. considering he'd played the full 80 minutes.
I thought that was a strange one. Yeah, I really did. I think he'd done enough to prove that, you know, anyone that was doubting him for the ahead of the Scottish game, he'd obviously come out and had an absolute stormer, and the line-out had gone so well. But I suppose, look, they weren't taking them too lightly, the Japanese, like, by putting all those players straight back into it. But
Joe would get criticism there, no matter what happens, because if he doesn't make any changes, then he's seemingly going full strength.
Yeah,
he'd get criticism for not making changes. And then if he'd made changes, then they would say, geez, they took Japan lightly.
Schmidt's other thing is that he always then says he's fit now, but we just didn't. So he said Sexton was fit, and then he's getting asked after the game, well, if he's fit, why do you not play him against Japan? Do you not respect Japan? Like, so he's going to get nailed in every which direction. Tough, yeah.
Let's nail him.
Get him, boys.
my mate texted me this morning. He's like, my weekend is ruined now. Like, proper pissed off over it. Like, you know. So relax.
Japan hustled us, you know.
Yeah.
They tricked us.
They kind of did, didn't they?
They played badly last week on purpose.
Yeah.
Did you notice they were like winging each other and all? And then they hustled us. Either they're hustling us, or we're hustling South Africa.
This is the influencing all over again.
And then South Africa in turn will hustle someone else.
Did you hear?
No basis to that theory. No.
Did you hear Luke Thompson, their lock, the 38-year-old lad?
Did you see him walking off?
Yeah.
He looked like a corpse. limping off. And then Redden turns to me and he goes, that's who's beating Ireland today.
He came out afterwards and said, like, oh, you know, all the Irish media were talking about South Africa, like, and they were, you know, and, you know, we were completely disrespected and we use it. And then I was kind of just like, yeah, we kind of have been talking about South Africa, like, and then that was the vibe. The vibe was South Africa, that's who we're going to be playing. And now, I don't know, it could be that way. But yeah, your man was, like, you think he put in 19 tackles, didn't miss one, and then James Moore was 23 or something, like, these two lads have never
it was classic us getting ahead of ourselves. We're terrorists, for it to be fair. All right, we'll come back in part two for a stab at black and white.
We've only done one part.
Yep.
You're listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness.
All right, Flav's not here today, so we're going to do black and white ourselves. So this is 60 seconds head-to-head, one controversial statement and a big debate. Pat will decide who wins, and whoever does gets a pint of Guinness on our black and white leaderboard. Pat, what is this week's black and white statement?
Sticking to your theme from earlier on, it's Aladdin is the best Disney character. Trimby,
I'm against. Four, I don't care.
I'm four, because I definitely think he is.
Okay, I'm against.
Okay.
Right, I'll get the clock going.
Who goes first?
You go first there, Barry.
Okay. Yeah.
Go.
I think Aladdin is the best because he's got great songs. He's cool. He's very good with animals. He loves the little monkey lad. He looks after him, Abu. He's very good to Jasmine. He treats her like a princess. But he has a lot of respect for her as a woman and as a strong, independent woman as well. He's not one of these sexist old fucking... Simba's a bit sexist, isn't he? He doesn't really give a shit half the time. He's a bit of an asshole.
Yeah, he's mean, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas Aladdin, he's just... Okay, he's a thief, but he's like Robin Hood. He steals from the rich and gives to... the monkey. and he frees the genie at the end. He frees the genie with his last wish. What a legend. Could have asked for more. Nah. You're free, genie.
Wow.
Whew. They should always be a Disney based. I'd kick your ass every week.
Which would be a hot topic here.
Go on.
If we're playing Top Trumps, yeah. And I was Baz, I'd be like, Disney.
Right, Jimmy, give you just a couple of seconds to kind of compose yourself here, because that was a good one.
I feel like Ireland at like 20 minutes in.
Right, let's do it.
Well, obviously, I completely disagree. For me, my the best Disney character of all time is Pumbaa, because you know he sings lots of funny songs, and he's a warthog, and he's an unlikely source for a hero, but to me he's the hero of the famous Disney movie The Lion King. Even within Aladdin, he's not even the best character in that. Jafar's better, Jasmine is better, the genie, all better.
No.
Because they all...
But he's... Okay. But,
no, go on. Cause
he brings them all together. It's all about him. It's his name above door. I just,
same as us. That's why we're the best characters in this show. Yeah, no, you can have this one.
Okay. You're going with Pumbaa. Pumbaa's all you got. Jesus. I'll take it.
I did a charity day yesterday for Crumlin, the children's hospital.
Yeah.
But I got down to Glendalough and I thought I was going to say a few words. Got down there and then kind of discovered it was a hike, and I got roped into doing it. 19 kilometers.
Were you dressed appropriately?
By the end, I was walking like your man Thompson coming off the pitch. I wasn't dressed appropriately, no. I did have like a makeshift pair of hiking boots in the form of like high top Vans.
Okay.
It made do. I was absolutely banjacked. 19 and back, kilometers, just legs.
Walking, was it like?
Just walking. 4 hours. I was so tired. It was for the kids.
It was for the kids. Fair play to you, look.
So I feel like that physical fatigue has made its way into the black and white performance today.
Okay, I need to fatigue you every week, so I'll take it. All right, we'll have a quick roundup of the Guinness Pro 14, which started back this weekend. Did you see anything else? Monster.
Don't take Connor then.
Need to improve.
You know what? We're not even going to read their results.
Ulster.
Connor's because they got beat.
They did. Ulster beat Ospreys 38-14 at Ravenhill. Great start for them. Two
Mikey
tries.
Mikey Laurie flying.
Was he? Yeah.
Yeah. Came off the bench, I think.
Little Lowry.
Think he did. Yeah.
Mike Lowry.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people called Mike Lowry.
Yeah, your man from Bad Boys.
Hmm. That's all I got, really. <That's it. laughs> Definitely more. Craig Gilroy got a couple of tries. New boys, Sam Carter, Jack McGrath, and Matt Fedez.
Matt Fedez. Apparently went very well.
Yes. That's what Pat was saying. Munster hammered the Dragons, as Flas said, 39-9, with Nick McCarthy getting his debut and looking good. Dave Kearney scored a hat-trick for Leinster as they edged out Treviso 32-27. It's good to see Treviso still, you know, even with obviously half their team probably depleted.
Conceding hat-tricks, yeah.
We put 27 points and Leinster is still doing okay.
A slight doors moment for Dave Kearney. He could be crying in the changing room in Japan, but he's scoring hat-tricks in Treviso.
Yeah, very true. Scarlets beat Connacht 18-10 at Parky Scarlets to ensure it wasn't another green sweep. Okay, that's I think that's it. Look, we've done our best to distract you, I think.
Yeah, I think we've done it.
But we've had to acknowledge it. Tough day for Irish rugby, but look, we'll be back. We're still going to win the World Cup.
Japan.
Yeah. No, Ireland. We're going to be the first team to ever win the World Cup by still losing a game in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right? That's the new plan.
Okay.
So, look, onwards.
We're Japan supporters now. This is the Baz and Andrews dojo of rugby.
We need to get back our little Japanese flag. That's great. Right, thanks everybody for listening in all your favourite apps, and for those of you watching us on YouTube, cheers to YouTube. It's been a long day. Thank you to everyone who helped out making this show and for coming in late on a Saturday. We really appreciate it. To Pat, to Alan, to Dermot, and to Anthony, this has been Baz and Andrews, House of Rugby, here on Joe, together with Guinness.
Party on.
Party on.
You were listening to Baz and Andrews House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.